What does cricket analytics get wrong? Should this be a podcast between you and Varun?
I think cricket analytics gets quite robotic after a point. It takes the human essence out of the game. That's the only thing. Otherwise, it's great. It's great. It's an incredible tool. I think it's very, very useful. The only thing is it robs the game of its humanity.
Yes.
I think that's a good point. I think there's, if you read Moneyball or watch the movie, you really get, like, the way the movie comes across, I don't think they realize that they were trading baseballs as commodities. Whereas actually, the better thing is to go to the players and have a dialogue and be like, this is what we can show you about your game. Can we work on it together? And I think that the original, you know, what was the first time you played in a team that really used analytics heavily? What period would that have been? Who would that have been with?
Early 2000s.
Oh, really that early?
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, that was when Moneyball came out. There's a lot of cricket teams.
But analytics as in you, like.
Was that video though?
Yeah.
Video's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can have a conversation with people about video.
Yeah.
You can't go back to them and be like, I think your algorithm's wrong.
Yeah. So the algo stuff, not till very late. But even the algo stuff is not shown to cricketers, so to speak. It's more for the analysts.
Yeah.
And they read it and then they kind of iterate that and then pass it to the support staff, the coaching staff, so to speak.
But yeah, I think that's where I think the mistakes are made, which is you're not actually trading commodities, right? It's really, for someone like you, Deepak, who's worked in the education, you know what I mean? Like, we have to understand that nothing is linear,
yeah,
right? So, exactly. Like, you know, you look at some of the careers of some of these players, like, you know, it's like, it goes flat for ages, there's no improvement, yes. Then suddenly they go through the roof. He had a year like that, right?
You are kind of discounting the fact that human mind can really come up with something amazing.
Yeah.
You're just putting it very linear, very much in a way that it's just structured on certain fixed parameters. You're just not allowing any, I would say, miraculous things to happen.
Yeah.
Which I think should be the basis for sports.
Yeah, and that's why I think having those conversations. Ishan Kishan's an interesting one, right?
Mm.
Of a player who I think for a long time was like, I can see why people are excited by him, but he hasn't really done anything here. And what we were waiting for was Rob's talked about this a lot, is the old Mumbai videos, the documentary that they made, he's playing video games the whole time until 3 or 4 in the morning. We were waiting for him to just mature, right? You can't see that on analytics, right? Like, and I think that a lot of people don't really understand that side of it.
Yeah. So I read a thing recently about RCB and it said, we are data informed. We aren't data led. Right. And I think that was a very important phrase. So I obviously spend my time a lot around numbers and trading cricket, setting the odds on cricket. If you only use the numbers, you will definitely fail. You will definitely be rubbish at it if you only use the numbers, because when cricket goes mad, which it always does, like it regularly does, you will be looking at some numbers that don't know that the ball's just started to reverse, right? And then everything changes. The clouds have come over, the conditions have changed, the dew has come down, right? Everything changes. But when it comes to analytics in making a team better, I think there are things, but the thing with stats and numbers is you can, if you dig far enough, you can kind of prove whatever you want.
Yeah.
So the skill is, and this is why I was successful at betting for many years, is I'm able to pick out the relevant statistics. That's the important bit. So there's no point in telling a player that's not bothered about analytics, big long list of numbers, strike rate by fade, strike rate by bowling. Yeah. I don't care. You'd like, Chris Gayle probably is not going to absorb that information and go, that's brilliant, fantastic. But if you say, look, every time you play this type of spinner, this pattern happens. What do you reckon? And start having a conversation with one of the greatest minds in cricket, Chris Gayle, you're going to end up probably having a conversation that helps his cricket, right? There's no point in showing him 10 sheets of numbers. There'll be the odd player that likes it. I can't think of one off the top of my head. There'll be the odd player that just loves the numbers and that's that. But if you don't pick the right ones out, so... Because there aren't many.
I reckon no players like the numbers after a certain point, unless it informs them about something that they're able to feel, because it's a very kinesthetic thing, right? If you're batting or bowling or fielding, you're feeling it through your body. So numbers don't make you experience that in your body.
Speak for yourself.
So if I said to you, let's say, Robbie, if you're playing...
I can say that to you about batting.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things. The phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
You're playing a particular shot against a particular bowling type. And I can just say from raw numbers, it's not worth you playing the shot.
Yeah.
I just want to give you this information. You have been out 15 times to this shot against this type of bowling, and you're now averaging 4 when you play that shot. And I am now not qualified to tell you what to do with that information. I just want to go, look at that. If you're playing the cut shot against this guy, you're averaging 4 when you do it. And you might say, I love that shot. It's fine. I'll just, whatever. Or you might go away and go, I'm going to put that shot away against that bowling type for now. Which famously Sachin put certain shots away at certain times, didn't he? Like crucial times, and made blistering comeback hundreds by doing it. He probably knew that information himself, right? He's like, if I play this shot, I'm going to get out. Try telling that to the England team, right? Where are we, the GABA? What should we do? Well, so let's start with what you don't do. I think it says it on the dressing room when you walk in, don't drive on the up, and they just did it over and over again, or got out, right? Because they're idiots. But I have to get that in. It's always in there. I think they probably need, because from the experience of gambling, the top guys have a ludicrous cricket knowledge as well as knowing what the numbers do, right? And some of them have mega geeks underneath them or as part of their team, let's say. And you cannot function without the mega geeks, right? But the guy at the top of these syndicates or whatever goes, I need to know this, and this information. Can you go and get it for me? And then they bring it to that person, he or she then does what they do and makes a lot of money out of it. But when you go to football, Premier League is enormously big business, right? And two of the biggest success stories in English football in the last 15 years, Brighton and Hove Albion and Brentford, unfashionable small teams that have got all the way to the Premier League and in one case Europe, right? And are actually wildly overperforming where they should be. One of them is owned by a gambler called Tony Bloom, and one of them is owned by a gambler called Matthew Bennett, right? They did the analytics is so advanced. They tried it out on teams from different countries. There's a team from Denmark who I can't pronounce. It's not Midget Land, but it sounds like it. I can't say the word. I don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, they bought a small team. I think it was in Denmark, Scandinavia somewhere, tried out all these theories. I think Bloom did that one. Worked. They're both performing really well in the Premier League every year because these two gamblers, they're two of the best ever, and they understand the concepts of Moneyball, but they also understand the sport so well that you can't just go, well, look, it's this. You need... The bit where it all breaks down for me is if you've got a brain like Shane Warne, for example, no analyst in the world is going to beat him.
No, but I think that's true. But I think if you say to Shane Warne, I can tell you who's going to sweep you and who's not going to sweep you. If I could tell you who's going to come down the pitch and who's not going to come down the pitch, that's all he needs, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I think, you know, a lot of, there was a county team that had analysis, and I know a bunch of these people from this county team, and they basically came to me for an intervention, and they said, our analyst is shit. And I was like, okay, well, give me the stuff. And they gave it to me, and I said, your analyst is fine. This person doesn't know how to get you the information you need. And they're giving you all the same information. You're a spinner and you're a quick bowler. It doesn't make any sense. You don't need to know this, right? You're the spinner. You need to say to your analyst, tell me who uses their feet. Tell me who gives themselves room. Tell me who sweeps, whatever, you know, who reverse sweeps, blah, blah, blah. The analyst can find that, but there's no communication here between the two. And that's a big part of where analysis goes wrong. There's also, I think what Robbie was saying before about the robotic element of it, but also there's better ways of using it, right? Like, you know, one of the first big breakthroughs I had was with a player was saying, you're struggling against left-handers. Why are you bowling over the wicket when you're terrible against left-handers? I've got 24 balls of data that says you're pretty good bowling around the wicket to left-handers. I don't know how to bowl around the wicket, Jared. I can't do it. All right. Well, that's a coaching problem now, isn't it? Numbers have helped. We both agreed that you've got an issue. Let's work together. And those are the moments when you usually have the biggest cut through with analytics is chatting to the person as a person, looking at the information and going. There was, I can't remember if it was Michael Beale. Was it Tom Cooper, the Australian part, who used to bowl the first over of every big bash game and never go for any runs?
Netherlands, Tom Cooper.
Yeah. And they put, I think it was Melbourne Stars, worked out he bowled the same length every ball. So it was great. Great. Well, let's just do throwdowns on that length and let everyone who's going to be batting against him know that that's where the ball is going to be. And this is how he darts it in.
It's gold.
Right? And now you can practice against it.
Yeah. It's that sort of stuff is fully gold.
That kind of information, that kind of analytics is fine. Analytics from the point of view of giving more information and helping people make or find solutions is absolutely fine. I think it's incredible. But I think when you look at large data model sets, right, and when you're making judgments on players, we try really hard with our team to try and look at different situations, different parameters. But not a lot of people do that. And by and large, I think cricketers know that it's not looked at from a point of view where it includes the human side of stuff, right? It's only looked at from a numbers perspective, but that doesn't tell you the whole story. And so cricketers just immediately dismissive about it, right? Even now, like the ICC rankings and all of that, right? Nobody knows the logic behind it, right? Players don't get it, but it's respected because it's ICC.
So, yeah, someone's just pressed the wrong button in their calculation. Sample size is a huge thing with all data, right? So when some people make decisions based on a very small sample size, you may as well not discuss it whatsoever. I think the thing you said, Jared, about communication is the fundamental thing that needs to change to make it all better. You probably need somebody between the mega geek and the person that information gets delivered to talk cricket.
Yeah.
Because... and that's what happens with betting syndicates, is what happens in the gambling world.
And this is how the best of coaches have actually worked.
Yeah.
They have processed the information and communicated to the players the way it should be done. So that it should not be drastically changing the fundamentals on which the game has been built over the years, but would obviously give them a better idea about how to maximize the skills that they have.
No, definitely. I mean, you look at someone like Freddie Wild, who was England's analyst and is now RCB analyst. He can't, apologies, Freddie. I don't think he can code, right? I don't think he does a lot of advanced maths type stuff. And analytics people who do that within the game, like Jimenez, who's obviously been involved with us at Combox. But in Freddie's case, he can do things that Jimenez can't do because Freddie grew up in cricket. His dad was a cricket writer, right? He's worked for CricViz for years. He knows how cricketers and coaches think, and he has that. So there is that sort of middle kind of way of doing it.
He played cricket?
Yeah, he played cricket. I don't think he was fantastic at it, but I think he can play, you know, he could certainly play cricket. There are some analysts that I've worked for IPL teams who don't know what a cutter is, right? But they're the best data analysts in the world. So you want that person, but you also need the Freddie type person as well. And then you need the coach who has an open mind and understands things and everything else. When I worked with ownership groups, it was a couple of years ago, last time I talked to one, but they said, what is it? You just come in and moneyball. And I was like, no, I'm due diligence, right?
Yeah,
like this is a billion-dollar investment, and you've got a coach at the auction table who's like, we're getting this all-rounder in. It's my job to be like, he bowls 8 balls a game. Is that an all-rounder?
No.
He bowls 8 balls a game in the Tamil Nadu Premier League. How many is we going to get out of him in the IPL? 4 balls a game?
Yeah, you're lucky.
And that's not, the coaches are all saying, oh, you know, this kid, he can do this, whatever. Great. Has he done it? That's what we need.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
Yeah.
It is an incredible tool.
Yeah. The teams that completely throw it in the bin will not do as well as they could do if they didn't. I'm sure of that. But also, the teams that have the analytics and they don't present it properly, they just get the mega geek to open his or her briefcase with 10 million sheets of paper. Yeah. And the cricketer must be thinking, Robbie, who the hell are you? to give me all these sheets of paper with numbers on. You don't play the game. You don't understand the game. How are you going to help me here?
A lot of cricketers also didn't finish high school or...
Right.
I was just going to say that, right? It's about also breaking down these things in a simple way, right? Like, how do you break it down in a way where anyone from any background can consume it in a bite-sized manner and process it?
Yeah. There you go.
My first gig was St. Lucia, and we had guys who hadn't been in school after the age of 15, and Brad Hodge had a PhD. So I'm speaking to a room of vastly different educated people, right? And so it's up to me to work out how to pass this information across. And probably working for St. Lucia is eventually helped with what we do at Good Areas, right? Because now I'm like, I have to make sure that I'm bringing as many people across. Right. And I get comments from data scientists all the time going, you know, we're stealing your ideas. This is a much better way of doing it. Because my whole because I'm not spending as much time on the data science stem.
Yeah.
I'm spending a lot more time on how do I get this information across? And it's really, really tricky. And then the other disconnect you get now, which is fascinating, is you get coaches who you still use Hotmail accounts. Right. And then you have owners who are like, you know, they've made money on the stock market or through tech or whatever, right? And they're really advanced and the two of them do not get along. And like the owner wants you to come in and the coach is like, yeah, I don't need anything from you.
What's wrong with Hotmail accounts?
You have to ask.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.